cannot read upside down. I guess that's not.
Okay, today's the 13th of Cheshvan, October 29th, 2012. And we're doing mitzvot 279 to 284. So we're doing a lot of mitzvahs today. We're going to buzz through a little bit. I probably should give a bigger hashkafic introduction, but that's the way it goes. Yeah. So hopefully we'll do it next time. Hopefully another time. I think I do want to start with the back of the page.
Okay.
To give you a general overview. I can't remember if we've done this before or not, but hopefully this is going to be relatively comprehensive as a skeletal overview, not as a philosophic underpinning. So we have tithes that we separate from our produce in Israel. When it's the land of Israel, when the Jews live in the land of Israel, when we have the temple, when the Kohanim are doing their thing, these are the tithes that we separate.
Tithes.
Okay. Trumot umasrot. That's what are at the top of the page. Mm-hmm. Trumot umasrot. Or trumos and maasros.
And that means tithes?
No, those are the tithes.
Those
right?
are the tithes. It
those
means tithes not. Too.
Oh, okay.
I think. So in English, tithes either refers to, I'm pretty sure, I should have looked up actually the English word too, but my understanding is that it refers to both 10% of your money, if you take off 10%, and it also means taking off some of your money, 8%, whatever that number is, that you give to your church or your tzedakah or your shul or your whatever. So I think tithe in English is more in the Christian sense. We don't tithe our money Jewishly. We do maaser our money. That's how we call it, maaser money. Maaser, from the word maaser, and the root of the word maaser is eser. That's why there's two A's in there. Ma'asrot, because that's a ayin, which is the guttural ah. So what's that apostrophe A in the spelling in English represents the ayin.
And the meaning is and so the same as
the meaning. So ma'aser specifically refers to 10%.
10%.
Right. Now, that being said, and today we have the obligation to miser our money. Miser is how you say it in English, but it's really ma'aser, to miser. So we use miser as a verb instead of as a noun here. Ma'aser is a noun. Mm-hmm. That is the ma'aser, right? But we use miser as a verb to miser our money, or as an adjective, our miser money. Some people have a separate account for their miser money. So they miser their money, verb, when they get it, and they put it into their miser account. And then they know how much they have. They write their tzedakah checks from their miser account. And then there's all kinds of halachic questions. It's a halachic obligation to give 10%, right? So then there's all kinds of questions. What counts for that 10%? Tuition for a class like this? Books for a class like this? Right?
So
I'm not answering
not
the question.
What we would ordinarily think of as, I mean, you know, if I think of giving to somebody else.
So I'm not answering. I'm just saying
that. Oh, you're saying, for example.
There are examples like that. Yeah, does it? Because some people will say your own Jewish education, your child's Jewish education, generally not. That's an obligation that's separate. So your child's education is a separate requirement from your miser money. However, somebody else's education, if you want to give to a school now, you can take that out of your miser money.
That makes sense, but then your own education, that seems...
So it seems like maybe you can, because maybe you're past obligatory or not. So it depends, really, on what level is obligatory and comes from some other kind of resource that you're required to spend, and what is... Hi. So I don't know all the answers to where miser money can go today.
Okay.
Those are different shilas, but
I see. Okay.
But those are questions to ask. Can, and particularly when somebody is tighter in money. Hi.
Thought I missed the memo.
No, we missed the memo. That was a whole problem. Somebody else missed placing the memo, which means that we're here. So hopefully we'll get that worked out for another time.
Tell me the five grains again are oats, barley, wheat, and what was?
We'll go into it. Great.
Okay.
We'll do it in a minute. Okay, so, so particularly for people who are tighter in money, when they have to really ask what they can use their miser money for, because they're not going to be extra generous, you know, they need to know, can they use that for this or that? That is one of their expenses, their own expenses. You can use your miser money to support so you have to know exactly how. But to support somebody, let's say a grown child. Let's say you have a kid
where
in college.
Where you didn't have an obligation anymore.
You don't have an obligation anymore, right? But they still need the help. So you can use your miser money for that kind of thing, or a sibling who's struggling, that kind of thing. So now that we said miser is 10%, it can go up to 20%. 10% is the minimum. It can go up to 20. In general, we don't give more than 20%. You're not permitted to give enough that would cause you to need tzedakah funds, but you do have to still give 10%.
Even if, what if
even if you're a tzedakah fund receiver, you still have to give tzedakah. But you're not permitted to give enough of your money that would tip the balance and put you into tzedakah receivership.
But, okay.
For those people who are very wealthy, Bill Gates, whatever, he can give more than 20%. We should all have that question, you know.
That would be the nicest.
But isn't it also not so that we don't become impoverished, but isn't it so that there's not a built-in sort of resentment?
I'm not sure.
A control and power thing can also come from being able to give so much.
Yeah, like I'm maybe Bill Gates, but I'll give up to 20%, but at some point, like, why not just give it all away? Why not be Oscar Schindler?
Right.
Do you know? I thought it was part of it was because then there's an opportunity for resentment.
I would imagine that is true, but I don't think, I'm not aware, it doesn't mean that for sure not, but I'm not aware that that's part of the halachic aspect.
So just maybe.
I would say that's part of the thought of it, is that we all want to contribute. I mean, I've heard people before who, let's say, they're trying to raise 100 rubles for the ransom of some poor peasant that's in the, you know, in jail.
Ransom.
Right, so the one person will give 90. He could give 100 if he can give 90. He's giving 90 so that other people can participate in the mitzvah. Right, so there is something like that, but we don't really have. I don't see. I'm not saying I know this halachically. I don't see it anecdotally that very big money is required to hold back, so that they don't have even a controlling interest. I mean, I've seen institutions where very big money has had controlling interests in institutions, and resentment are not too bad. It's called the X whatever, the X building, the X campus, the X institution, and they have a big say in it.
You know? That happens a lot.
Right. I was walking with my mother past. Her plane got a bird strike, and so she had the plane that was supposed to take her from here. So anyway, so she had to spend the night, which is nice. She was just going home through Denver. So she got to spend the night, and once she could spend the night, she has to spend an extra day. So we're walking past the Baron building, the Baron West Wall of Yeshiva Toras Chaim. She said, that's interesting. I don't remember that sign. I said, I think it's been there for a while, but why is it the Baron West Wall? So I just told her, like, how that Israel, another name for Israel is Plakistan, you know. We're all into dividing up buildings into naming opportunities. You know, you name the door, you name the water fountain, you name the bathrooms, you name the library, you name the wall.
But I think that's interesting because I thought that the highest level was anonymity.
Yeah.
And so it would seem to me...
Not everybody can achieve the highest level. Turns out peer pressure is a really big push. So if you get to name it, sometimes you'll name it after somebody else.
Some people. Yeah.
For a lot of people, not everyone, but for a lot of people, peer pressure is a big push. And even if it's not peer pressure, just peer knowledge sometimes is a big help. You know, I went to the Bonnet Olam event last night, and it was so nice. Ruthie Krauss got up at the end. She was not scheduled to speak, but she just said, as a grandmother, I just want to add in a few words. It's a fertility organization to help Jewish families pay for IVF, etc. So she said, just as a grandmother, I just want to say that, you know, we married off our 5 children, we married off our 5th, and she was able to conceive, and everybody, we have grandchildren from all of them. You know, we really felt that as grandparents, we wanted to help somebody who couldn't conceive. And so we gave generously to Bonnet Olam this year, just to say, like, not like you need to know that I did, but you should hear, like, this is one reason I'm so thankful all my children could have children. I want to help somebody else. So it's nice to hear, like it just gives you a push. You should know that. So there's like different ways, reasons why, and sometimes people will name an institution that way too. So sometimes it's in thankfulness to somebody else. They name
sometimes
it after their parents.
It provide incentive or whatever.
But it does provide incentive to know that people around you are giving. Okay, anyway, so that's what miser means. So Trumot and Masorot, that's what we're discussing. We're on the back of the page. Okay, so Trumot and Masorot technically refer to the tithes, that's the English word, the separating parts, the offerings that we give from our produce. So biblically ordained, you have to give it from the 5 grains, wine, and olive oil. So the five grains are the five Pesach grains. That's wheat, rye, barley, oats, and spelt. Those are the five grains. You might sometimes see when you're reading the Torah in English, it'll refer to it as corn. But corn is just sometimes a translation for grain when they say dagan. Dagan means grains, but sometimes they translate it as corn. Just like sometimes they translate sown, which means flocks, as cattle. But it doesn't really mean that. It could mean flocks of sheep. So you just have to know that, some, like, you might read it in English and it could be confusing because corn is not one of the things.
Right.
Corn would be separate. That's a vegetable, but it's not a grain, technically. We do separate from it. So,
because it can be ground and
right, exactly.
used
right.
like
to
a flour,
right?
So
right. Which is one reason why Ashkenazim don't eat it on Pesach.
You know, we don't eat a lot of bread, so we don't do, we bench after their birkat. We don't do the whole bread thing. But there is a blessing just for these five grains. If you've eaten that, it's at the
Correct.
Back of the bencher. So you just say that.
Right, if it wasn't bread. If it's crackers, cake,
right.
cookies, unless
Well, it specifically mentions wheat, rye, barley, oats, and spelt.
Right, yeah. If you eat anything that's not hamotzi, made mm-hmm. out of those things, that's called mizonot, mm-hmm. mizonos or mizonot. So sometimes people just refer to that whole category of food. Non-bread grain products are called mizonot. And I have a friend who comes over and like wants a muffin or a scone. He'll say, do you have any mizonos for me? So like, that's what he's looking for, is mizonos, a snacky thing.
A snacky thing.
So mizonos. So, so anything that you eat that's made out of the five grains that's not bread, the after blessing is that blessing. However, if you make a meal out of it, you bench.
Oh, even if you don't have bread?
Yes, if you make it into a meal.
If that's what if you don't have any of the grains at all, though?
No, then not. Then you just say burn if a show.
Typically, if you don't eat bread, you're not eating any of these grains.
But let's say, so it's tricky. It gets tricky with pancakes, let's say. You have two pancakes, that's probably alamechi. You have three already, four, you probably should bench. Even though you say mizonot for the first blessing, you would bench for the after blessing because you ate enough to be
koveya suda.
Right. And so there's all kinds of halachic things here. I'm not rendering halachic stuff. You should just know that if somebody makes a meal out of peanut butter and crackers, they probably should bench at the end of it, even though it was crackers. So even though you wouldn't wash for it, unless you intended to eat
that and make it a meal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then that's a whole different thing. Okay. So grains, legumes, and vegetables are things that we separate Trumot and Maserot from. And the way that we measure how much you separate from, which we'll go into in just a minute, is how much is grown between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Right, so that's
year.
The Tishrei Rosh Hashanah. Right, so you have to separate off 10% from the Tishrei Rosh Hashanah is how you can tell what your whole produce is. But tree fruit is Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat. That's how you count that time.
But in any case, either one is a 12-month period.
Correct. That's correct. The question is just when do you
measure?
When do you measure? Right. You have to know because this is a halachic obligation.
Mm-hmm.
So with halachic obligations come halachic parameters. So you have to know when you measure. When do you count zero and when do you count 100 and then when do you separate off?
Are you distinguishing between truma and mas?
I'm going to in just a minute.
Okay. I just was like, wait.
Right. Okay. So that's the general trumot and maser. Okay, now let's get to some vocabulary words here. Tevel. Tevel is food from which trumot and maserot have not been separated. So it's forbidden to eat. Tevel. You know for sure it was not separated. Damai is food from which you're not sure if it was separated. Also forbidden to eat. The main halachic difference between tevel and damai, both are forbidden to eat. Both require the trumot and maserot to be separated from them. Tevel, you're sure, so you'll make a bracha. Demai, you're not sure, so you won't make a bracha. So demai is you're not sure, tevel is you're for sure.
All right, let me ask just a question. Mm-hmm. You're trying to go through this quickly.
No, it's fine.
So you're supposed to separate between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah on the grains, legumes, and vegetables, and Tu B'Shvat on the others. So you're saying that
that Tevel and Damai are when no separation has been done. In other words, you haven't set aside 10%
correct.
Of your crop.
That's correct.
For that 12-month
you
period.
Have a,
you just kept it all or whatever.
You have a pot. Well, so let's just say you go into the granary. It's all been harvested now, threshed. You have a nice big pile in your silo, right? So you just haven't done it yet.
Gotcha.
Or you've transgressed.
Or you didn't do it because...
Right.
You didn't have enough.
Right. So let's say you're okay, so let's just make up a situation, okay? You haven't done it yet, right? You're the farmer and you haven't done it yet and you know that tomorrow, you know, that's when you're planning on separating truma
and
maaser. You have somebody who's coming who's gonna take it and you're gonna make the bracha, you're gonna count, you're gonna separate, it's a whole big thing.
But you haven't done it yet.
You haven't done it yet, okay?
You can't use it for dinner.
You cannot use it for dinner, right? Now let's say you're the son of the farmer, you're the daughter of the farmer, whatever. Right? And, you know, your parent is somebody who regularly separates truma and maaser. They had a heart attack last night and died.
And you don't know if they did it or not yet.
You don't know if they did it or not. Like, it was all harvested, put in the granary, all the... Like, it could have been done. It could not have been done. You can't call somebody to find out. They don't have phones.
Right.
You're like, did the person come and take it? Did they make the bracha or not? Like, you don't know.
Right.
Right?
So that's the answer.
So that's demai. Right, so then you'd have to separate it
again, even if it's already okay.
Right, even if it's already been separated, because you don't know, but you wouldn't make a bracha this time because
gotcha.
You don't know.
Okay.
Another question. You said it's all theoretically taken to the granary. There's a big pile.
Uh-huh.
Is that pile then taken and weighed out? I mean, how do you take 10% of a pile?
Good. That's good. I'm not exactly sure the mechanics of how you measure, but it does have to be measured. It does have to be measured.
So someone has to come and weigh it for you.
Well, or you weigh it for yourself.
Weighed at the time it's ground or collected or whatever, and then you know.
So
it's
you
possible.
Have a responsibility.
You have a responsibility to know
exactly how much.
Yes, you do.
If you bring in 10 bushels.
Maybe. Right.
Something like that.
You just
then
have
you
to
would know.
And this was in place all the time when everybody lived there
yeah.
and the temple.
It's actually in place today now. We'll talk about it. It's in place today now, too.
Can we think about today, like when we make challah?
Yes. That's a separate Kohanic gift. There are 24 Kohanic gifts. And two of them are in Trumot and Masrot. But there's other ones, too. Parts of offerings, challah. I can't list all 24 for you, but I know that there are 24.
So, like, we could think about it. Like, when I take... Well, but then it's not 10%.
Not 10%. It's a little bit.
Yeah, how do you know?
It's not Meiser. It's not Meiser. No. You right. Right. No, so your challah that you take today, first of all, you're outside of the land of Israel, so it's a question if you have to take it all together. We take it, and we even make a bracha on it. However, it's not d'oraisa at this point. And we just take a little bit. We don't want to waste. You don't have to take much, and you burn it or throw it away, double wrap it, whatever you do with it. Right? If it was temple times, and the Kohen was coming to take it from you, you don't bring it to the Kohen. He comes to you to get it.
Mm.
So that means that the Kohen, the teacher, the Rav, comes into your home, which gives you a chance to ask Shilas privately. You know, you have a little private audience while you give the challah. That's the whole point. So here's the halachic, little halachic underpinning of this. The whole point is to sustain our teachers and those who serve us. So they serve us, even though they're above us. Levim and Kohanim are above us, right? As Yisraelim, whoever's Yisrael here. So it goes... Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. The bulk of the Jews are Yisraelim. One tribe is Levi, subset from the tribe of Levi, Kohen. So even though they receive our kavod, which we learned in the last class, but they serve us in terms of keeping the connection between us and Hashem. They assist. They do some of the avoda, and they're in charge of that avoda. So because they're in charge of that avoda, we pay their salary for that, so that we have a part in their avoda. And they're sustained through our other work, which sanctifies our other work. So all of our agricultural work, all of our, whatever, lawyering work, all of our decorating work is sanctified through the 10% that we separate off. Bless you. To sustain servant isn't the right word, but it is, those who serve us in serving Hashem. Right? So servers, I'll say, instead of servants. But that is why we do it, is to free them up from the need
so
to worry about their parnassa. We worry about their parnassa so they can worry about other things.
So when they take this isn't used in a sacrifice or anything like
no.
this. It's actually used to
They eat it. So we're going to do that
so
right now.
Collect all the pieces of challah and put it all together.
Right.
Yeah, oh, so that's what I was going to say. At that time, when the coin came in, you didn't give him a little egg's worth. You gave him a loaf.
Right.
You know, it might be a small loaf because he's taking from other people too. But you didn't just give him, like, you know, what we take off today. Yeah, a little bali, you know. So.
Okay. So we can't understand how to. We can't understand this really with respect to taking challah because it's a different thing.
Yes.
It
is. Okay. Yes. So when I don't burn my challah, me personally, I double wrap it. I don't like the smell of the burning challah in the house. But when I double wrap it and when I gently place it in the garbage, I try at that time to be wistful and daven and say, Hashem, please bring the time soon when I'll be able to give this to a Kohen instead of putting it in a garbage can. So I just use that as an extra time of tefillah. You know, it's sad that I have to put it here instead of putting it into the hands of a Kohen who's coming to take it from me. Okay, so truma. Okay, so now we have, let's just look at these words here. Truma, go down the page. Truma, ma'aser rishon, trumat, ma'aser, ma'aser sheni, ma'aser ani. Okay, so these are the trumot and masrot. This is what's known as trumot and masrot. So we have two trumas and three masers, right? So trumot and masrot. Truma gedola. You have 100% of your crop in front of you. Take off any amount, and that's truma gedola. That goes from you to the kohen. So that's what a mashahu is. I wrote there, mashahu. I wrote the verses where each of these come from.
That's nice.
So the mashahu is any amount. So any amount makes it that you've taken truma gedola. That's from you to the Kohen. But the rabbinic parameter is you should give 1/50. 1/40 is generous, and 1/60 is if you're poor. But in general, 1/50 is your truma gedola. So truma or truma gedola. It's referred to both ways. Plain old truma or truma gedola is any amount, but with that rabbinic parameter. Okay, so now you've separated that off.
The 50th,
top.
Let's say.
Right, the 1/50th. Now, from what's left, you take 1/10. Right, that's called ma'aser rishon, the first ma'aser. Ma'aser. Ma'aser rishon is 1/10 of what's left after truma gedola. And it's exactly 1/10. Which, you know, however, whatever the definition of exactly is, but it's not. It's not an eighth if you're rich and a 12th if you're poor. It's a 10th. You take off a 10th. That goes to the Levite. Now, in this, the difference, besides the amount that you have to give between Truma and Ma'aser, is that Truma in both cases, the next Truma that we're going to encounter too, and Ma'aser in all cases, the difference between Truma and Ma'aser is Truma goes to the Kohen and it's Kadosh and can only be eaten in Tahara. And only by Kohanim.
Okay, wait.
Truma Gedola. Both Trumas. There's Truma Maser, which we're going to get to next.
Oh, okay.
But both Trumas go to Kohanim, and they're Kadosh. They're sanctified. So it's part of the category called Kadshim. Kadshim includes all holy things. That includes Challah. It includes Truma. It includes sacrifices. It includes whatever else that I can't think of right now that has to be partaken of by the Kohen in a state of Tahara. So if you're a non-Kohen and Tahar, you can't have it. If you're a Kohen and not Tahar, you can't have it. All right, so you're a Kohen wife who killed a mouse this morning in your kitchen. You're tummy from killing that mouse. Right, so now you have to wait until the evening. You touched a dead mouse. You have to go to the mikvah, and then you're tahor again. Now you can have it for dinner, but you can't have it for lunch.
Even a dead mouse, actually.
Yeah.
With all the bugs we wanted to kill.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure about bugs, and sizes of bugs.
That would have been practical.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
Indeed. Like Shiloh to the Kohen when he knocked on the door.
Forget his truma.
Right.
Before you take this, I killed a roach this morning.
Yeah. Actually.
Well, roaches are probably their own category. Anyway.
I think they are.
I would say that's very true.
I think they are, but I'm not sure.
I thought it was only of the Kohen, not you, who made the
incorrect
giving it.
No.
Okay, it's either party.
Right. So there's
he can't Kachin. Eat it unless he's Tahor.
Correct.
Okay.
I think. And I'm not positive, but I think there's such a thing as truma, that's kadosh, that has become tameh, the actual truma.
Okay.
Right?
This is parsing it.
No, but this is there. This is part of the halacha. It's a big deal.
Question, yeah.
So I think that a tame kohen is permitted to eat tame kutchim. But a Yisrael is not permitted to eat it. But I'm not sure if a tame kohen can eat it because they're tame, which we're going to see when we get to the mitzvahs. So the first mitzvah on the other side of the page is that a ritually unclean kohen is forbidden to eat truma.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So it may just be that the animals can eat it, because a kohanic animal can eat truma.
So if you're kohen and you're not purified, can you eat something? What do you eat? They can eat something that's not kosher.
Yeah. No, it's not that they can only eat when they're tahor. It's that they can only eat that when they're tahor.
So they can eat other
but
things.
But what is the... If everything's given to you...
That's kadosh.
I don't think everything is. You're not working all the time in the temple. Most people had some kind of a job. Not always. Mm-hmm. But just like we have the custom today in a shiva house to bring people food, right? So I learned from Devorah Klein that the reason that we do that is because back in the day, you worked for your daily bread. If you were sitting shiva, you didn't eat because you didn't work that day. So other people pitched in, other people who were working that day pitched in and brought you food. So let's just imagine a situation in which that's the case. You work and you earn what you're going to eat that day. So if a Kohen even is just doing his time in the temple, his month in the temple. So 11 months of the year, he's got a job. But 1 month a year, he's in the temple. So what is he going to eat that month? So, but really, we're just thinking of a scenario. Some people worked more, some people worked less, they took shifts, they did time. Some people had more money, some people had friends, some people lived in communities that gave a lot, some people lived in communities that gave a little, like all different things. You know, there are all different factors that went into it. Some people saved up for it, some people needed less, whatever. All kinds of different things went into it. But you did have access to food that was not the Kohanic food. Mm-hmm. You need that in case you're tummy and you're hungry, or you want to eat with somebody else. You know, the Kohanes invite the Levies over for Shabbos lunch. They can't serve truma because the Levies can't eat them.
Yeah.
Right? So if they're just having the Kohanes, they're having the Kohen children over for Shabbos lunch, they can all eat truma together.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not so lonely on the top.
Well, no, I mean, I know that the idea is that we're supposed to learn it. So when we have the temple, we know what we're supposed to do.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it applies to us, not in theory, not at the very moment.
Well, it does apply to us.
Only in 10 minutes when Moshiach.
Well, but we're all Israel, aren't we? Most of us.
I'm an Eshet Levi. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I can eat the kutchim. I can just have the maser, but everybody can have the maser. I'm allowed to share. Like if somebody.
What about if your husband's a Kohen?
If my husband's a Kohen, well, my husband couldn't be a Kohen because I'm a Ger, and a Ger can't marry a Kohen. However, if your husband was a Kohen, you would be an Eshet Kohen, and that would give you Kohanic status, and you'd be allowed to eat that.
Unless
you get divorced. Then you can't anymore.
Now, was this collected on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? How was this?
So, good. Excellent question. It has to do with when you harvest and how you count.
I was going to say probably when the harvest, because they didn't really have a lot of stale bread techniques.
Oh,
what
no.
What we would call stale bread?
No.
Did they collect?
You mean the challah? No, challah. They'll come and get from you whenever you're making the dough. And now you harvested your cucumbers, right? In July. Yeah. So you're going to give your cucumber, right, stuff in July.
So whatever's in season.
Yeah, yeah, at the time.
Like the farm share.
Yeah, but let's say you harvest cucumbers twice. So you just do it twice.
Well, or as is frequently the case, if you're a farmer, you probably harvest every day different things.
Right, so then you do it, I think you do it every day, right. unless you can pile it up a little bit.
Maybe
so I think
a few days or so.
Yeah, but you can separate trumot and maser from one pile.
And just sort of keep it there.
And then just keep it, yeah. So now in Israel today, they separate trumot and maserot.
For everything that's
Everything
grown.
Has to be separated. You're not allowed to eat tevel or demai in Israel. And in Chutz La'aretz, also, it does apply to us today. We're not allowed to eat tevel and demai. Tevel and demai only applies to food grown in the land of Israel. But if you see Jaffa oranges in King Supers, you have to separate Tremote and Maserot, or you have to know if they do when they send it out.
They did it before.
So I don't know if the Jaffa Orange company does. You can find out. Call Rabbi Heisler.
I see.
And he'll tell you, Jaffa Oranges are already separated. Don't worry about it. Or he'll say, no, Jaffa Oranges that come to Chutz La'aretz are not separated.
So buy 10 and put one aside.
Or buy one, and there's a way to do it too. Yes, but you buy 10. Yeah.
And then would you just throw it away?
No, then you redeem it on a coin.
And then you give the coin.
And then you give the coin to tzedakah. Yes. There's a whole procedure.
Okay.
It's so, in the sitter.
Did you say yet the difference between two marks?
No.
Okay. Not yet.
Okay.
Oh, I still don't understand.
Okay. So, we have your whole pile, your 100% piles in front of you. You took
you
off a little bit. That's your
right.
That's your true Megillah.
Now
you take a 10%. That's Maaser Rishon that goes to the Levi.
Right.
Now the Levi takes his pile, his 10% that he got from you. That's his 100%. From the Levi's 100%, which was your former 10%, he now takes 10% and gives that to the Kohen. That's Trumat Maaser, right? The Truma that's been taken from the Maaser. So that's the Levi's job, once he's received from you, to now give up to the Kohen.
But that's not...
And that...
Okay.
So
right,
your Maaser that you just gave to the Levi is not Kadosh. But as soon as he gives his 10%, he separates off his 10%. He can't eat it yet. But once he separates off his 10% and gives it to the Kohen, he can eat the remaining 90% is his, and it's not Kadosh. He can share it with whoever he wants or sell it. He needs a new piece of furniture. He can sell that batch and buy a chair. No problem. The Kohen, who receives his 10% off of the Levites, he can't sell it.
Maybe, so he must eat it.
Maybe he could sell it to a Kohen. I don't know.
If he's Tahara.
Tahor. Right. Tahor. Tahara is the noun. Tahor is the adjective.
So you're saying that the Kohen or the Levite also... has to give to the Kohen?
Correct.
Right.
Just the same as Israel.
Well, but not he gives 10% of what he gets.
10%
of
10%.
Now, if he was growing his own stuff, I think he has to do his own.
Okay.
So he'd have to do a double give.
I'm not even talking,
He'd have to do a double give.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if he was a farmer, he'd have his own tithing questions.
Okay, except that they didn't inherit land either, but...
Right. So let's say he bought a piece of land.
Right.
Whatever.
Okay.
You know, but I don't know how that works exactly. But if a Levi, for whatever reason, is doing his own growing, then he has to ask his own rabbi, his own child, about how he separates.
Okay.
What we're talking about now is the 10% that he got from you.
Okay.
Right? From that 10% that he got from you, he separates 10% and gives it to the Kohen. Now you're left with, in front of you, you have your tiny bit taken away, your 10% taken away, and now you have a new pile.
A little less than 90%.
You have a little bit less than 90% left, and from that, you again tithe 10%. That's called Maaser Sheni, second Maaser, right? So you do two Maasers, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. This is Maaser Sheni, the second 10%.
So it's roughly this, 10% of 90%.
Correct.
Roughly, not quite.
Correct, roughly. This Maaser Sheni takes on two forms. Now, thinking about this Shemitah cycle, in year 1, 2, 4, and 5, it's called Maaser Sheni. And in year 3 and 6, it's called Maaser Ani. But it's the same separation.
So it's years.
It goes by years. That same chunk has a different name depending on the year and a different destination.
Okay.
So in the years, and we'll just do the second one first because that's the easiest one, Maaser Ani. Ani means poor person. Ani with an ayin, ani, not an aleph, which is ani mi, ani, I, right? Like ani rotzak lida, that's ani. That's not this ani. This is ani.
This is ani.
Yes, ani.
Right. Pardon?
Anim smirot, anim.
That is, I will beautify the song. Anim.
It's a different one.
Yeah, yes, it's a different one.
Okay. Animani.
All right. So animami. It's the same ani. No, it's a different. It's a different ani than animami. Animami, I believe, is the I. This is ani, a poor person. The same root as lechem oni. Oni, bread of affliction.
It's an ayin.
It's an ayin, correct. Maaser ani. In year 3 and 6, this second maaser goes to the poor people. That's in addition to the other stuff that they get, the corner of the field, the stuff you forgot to harvest, the stuff that dropped out of your hand.
And everything is the 7th year or whatever.
In the 7th year, everything's hefker. You don't separate out the that's all hefker.
So
you don't separate any of this out of things that are hefker.
Okay.
So what do they do in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 when they haven't gotten this?
Okay, so hang on, we'll do that.
They haven't gotten what?
Let me just finish answering that. Hefker. So hefker means things that are ownerless. You can make something ownerless. I do that sometimes. You probably can't. You all live in nice neighborhoods. But in our neighborhood, if there's a chair that I don't want anymore or anything,
you put it out by the dumpster.
I put it out.
Picks it up.
Forget
for sure.
Dumpster. I put it out right in front of my house. I just put a sign on it that says free, and it's gone in
Absolutely.
5 minutes.
That happens.
A barbecue, a chair, a whatever it is, it's gone in a second. But I made it hefker by doing that. By putting the free sign on it, it becomes hefker, ownerless, and anybody can claim it, and then it will be owned. But it's ownerless. When I do that, I make it hefker. But let's say somebody, I don't know, had an apple orchard, right? And then for whatever reason, they moved. They went to go take care of their aging parent, and they never came back. It's that field's hefker, right? You go in there and harvest apples. So I don't know, if you claim the field, that's different, and I don't know all the halachas of that. But if you go in there and you take a bushel of apples,
and that's okay.
I don't think you have to separate trumot and maaser because it's hefker. But I'm not rendering a halachic opinion here.
That's
if you do that, ask your own shiloh.
That's in the seventh year.
Okay.
That's in the seventh or any other year.
Yeah.
Or any other
or
year
any
if it's
year.
Hefker.
Oh, okay.
If it's hefker. Shemitah year produce is hefker.
Right.
Okay. Now let's go back up one to Maaser Sheni. In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is for you to eat in Yerushalayim.
So after another 10%.
So that's the second
10%.
It's the second 10%.
You have 90%.
So you have 9.
The okay.
80%.
So you have in front. Okay, let's just do our 100% pile again, right? You have your 100% pile. You took off a little bit. That goes to the Kohen. Now from that, you took off 10%. That goes to the Levi. Now from what's left, you take off your next 10%, and that either goes to you or the poor person.
Okay.
Depending on the year.
Depending on what year.
Depending on the year. If it goes to you. You have to eat that in Yerushalayim.
So you have to take it with you on a...
And you also keep the other 90%.
The rest you can eat however you want.
Or sell.
That's all yours. But this is a special...
Duty to go to Jerusalem.
There's a duty to go to Jerusalem. Now let's say you harvested your cucumbers last week and this week. You're not running to Jerusalem to eat a salad. You sell the cucumbers
and
you take the money and you save the money for when you go to Jerusalem. And then with that money, you buy stuff in Jerusalem and you eat it there. If you can
Basically,
bring stuff,
it's
great.
An institutionalized attempt to make it necessary to go to Jerusalem.
Yes.
At least.
Now,
at
anyway,
least
you're going. Anyway, you're going on your Aliyah to Regel, hopefully.
Right.
The holidays
when you're making the pilgrimages.
Right.
So here's your pilgrimage festival fund.
It's your fund. It's your like
right
vacation
here.
Fund.
Right here is your money for
Except
food.
It's not, unless it's not.
It doesn't pay for your transportation. It doesn't pay, right?
It's for your food.
It's
for your food in the city.
Right. Okay, I was thinking that it wasn't for us, but it is for us.
It is for us.
It is for us.
Yes. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5, it is for us.
Right.
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
Right.
So each of our holidays that we are required to go to Jerusalem is on a harvest time.
Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot.
Yeah.
They
isn't it like right after
the harvest? Oh, I see your connection. That's very smart.
But it's right after the harvest, right? I mean, if it were right in the middle of harvest, if we're right in the middle of harvest,
sometimes it is. It depends on your field.
Right. Yeah.
Not everybody went. And
this
we know that.
This is the time that people are harvesting.
Yeah.
Right. So, but Pesach and Shavuos are pretty close together.
You have the early barley in Pesach.
But that could very easily be for some farmer. Shavuos or Pesach could be smack in the middle of their harvest time. For somebody.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
It was set up, yeah.
So they have their fund to pay for their food while they're there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Or their food they're going to take with them or whatever it is. Yeah. Right. And, of course, Shavuot is when you bring the first fruits too, the bikurim, to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Who gets to eat the bikurim? I think that's one of the Kohanic gifts. I'm not positive.
How about if you're a flock person?
If you're a flock person, you also have to tithe your flocks. I didn't want to put that in here because it's not the same. There is a tithing of
confusing.
It is too confusing. I took
it
out.
I need to hear.
Right. We use the word tithe, and we do tithe our flocks, and we do separate off a 10%, and that does go from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. That's when we count it from. although that may be a machloket if it's Rosh Hashanah, if it's Tishrei or Elul, not okay. sure, okay. which is the month which that we count. But we do count one full calendar year, and then we see who's been born, and then we take a 10% from that. And either that 10% goes straight to the Kohen, or you can also redeem that on money and give it to the Kohen, or however that works. There's different ways to make that work.
Right.
I don't know if we tithe flocks now in Israel. I do know that we tithe food now in Israel.
Right.
So I've mentioned this before, but it just bears mentioning here. So the 10% trumot, the 10% maaser, that can be eaten by anybody. So we separate that off, put it on a coin, give the coin to tzedakah, no problem. Anybody can eat that. But the truma has to be eaten only in tahara, which nobody is in today. Right? So no kohen can eat the truma today. However, the truma is for kohanim and their animals. So Kohanic animals eat that today. So the biblical zoo is owned by Kohanim. So all the truma of Eretz Yisrael goes to the biblical zoo or other Kohanic animals and feeds them. So that's been taken care of so that the food doesn't get wasted. Because now that Israel is really flourishing, there's a lot of food that, you know, you can't just throw it away. Well, it's not like the olden days where you could, you know, it's half a cucumber and you'll just let it rot on the windowsill because you can't throw it away because it's holy. Right, but now you're not going to let a whole wagon load rot, a whole truck loads today, which is what we have. So that gets fed now to animals.
So this is happening in Israel today, the
Correct.
Separation.
Correct.
But who does it go to? There's no Kohanim, there's no...
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So the Kohanic part goes to the Kohanic animals.
Animals, all right.
Mm-hmm. But the rest of it would go to the food.
Yeah, it is
a lot. Right, it is a lot of food. That's why
well, it's 100%. That's a lot, 100%.
I mean, that's considering that, you know, the whole country basically subscribes to this.
It would be...
Right. Most of the country does.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to sell your produce. So a secular farmer whose produce is for export probably wouldn't follow this. But, of course, a religious farmer will. Mm-hmm. And then a secular farmer who's selling...
Sell in Israel.
Yeah, domestically will because people won't buy it. I mean, people look
to see if it's...
So look, there's a sign. If you go to Machane Yehuda, you'll see signs in every fruit and vegetable stall that says Trumot and Masrot have been separated or not. Mm. So now you're going to be careful. You don't want to buy from... So it's a hassle to do it yourself. So you don't buy from the ones that... You don't buy from the ones that don't have the sign, right? Other people might. And then they don't care. Some secular person's just going to buy whatever strawberry he sees and it's pretty. But I'm going to check first and make sure that he has the sign hanging over his stall that says
so you don't have to deal with
Trumot and Masrot have been separated. Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes?
Just thinking.
Okay.
It's a lot of information.
When you stop this part, I've thought about the ownerless part. Should I say it now?
Sure.
My guess is that if we took a bushel of apples from the Hefker field, that we would take truma.
I think once you bring it into your house, you might have to.
Well, because first of all, we've made it. We've changed
it. You
required it.
But also think about it from the person who's receiving charity only. Okay, they're subsisting on gifts, right? And they're required to give.
Right.
So
right.
My guess.
If you bring it into your house, so that's a question because here's an extra halacha for you. Okay, you have an apple tree in your backyard. You're not a farmer. You have an apple tree in Israel.
Uh-huh.
You want to make apple pie now. So you go out to your tree and you collect 40 apples and you bring it in to make your whatever you're making, right? Now you have to separate Trumot and Masrot. But you're outside on a Wednesday afternoon reading under your tree and you decide to eat an apple. You can, in Israel, you can just pluck that apple and make a bracha and eat it right there. Your apple, your tree, didn't bring it into your house. You don't have to separate Trumot and Masrot from that.
Hmm.
But if you bring it into the house, you do. So I have a friend with a lemon tree, right? So you don't eat lemons by themselves. You bring them into your house to squeeze it onto your salad, right? So then you have to separate even from one. You have to learn how to do the whole thing. So those people that have a tree like that, they've learned the formula. They have a coin taped to their refrigerator. They have two coins taped to their refrigerator. One to redeem it on and then one to redeem that whole coin onto the other coin so that you empty up the first coin to... Yeah. And I don't know the whole thing. I haven't lived there for a long time, but I used to have that. I didn't have a tree, but, you know, just in case you'd buy something back in the day when, you know, if you go to Machane Yehuda, and the nicest strawberries were on the stand that didn't have the sign, you had to know how to do it. So
these are all the things that we should keep in this inner circle so no one there. Crazy.
right.
Okay, we're a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting.
Okay, any more questions on this before
we... Would you make a bracha? So we have a cherry tree. Uh-huh. Would you separate and then just not make a bracha? Like in here, in Denver?
No, in Denver we do not
so
at all.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
Zero.
So you don't have to do anything?
No, all you do is the remnant of financial separation.
So if I sold my cherries?
No. If you earn some money,
oh,
you take 10%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right, can we just do this shares. Next week then?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we did not know the difference between Truma and Masa, right?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
That's what we do. That makes sure.
That's these
two Trumas.
Oh, okay.
There's two Trumas and three Masers. Truma is for Kohanim, and it's Kadosh. Maaser is either for the Levi, or for us, or for the poor person, and it's not kadosh. It's required to separate it, but you don't have to eat it b'tahara.
For Israelites, or...
Right, write it down at the bottom of your page there, because you have the Truma, Maaser Rishon, Truma Maaser, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani. So the three Maasers are... Well, the first one's for Levi, second one's for us, third one's for poor people. And all three of them are not kadosh.
Okay.
And both the trumas, Truma Gdola and Truma Maaser, those are both kadosh and they're only for Kohanim.
Okay, so if I'm making my challah, if someone says they took truma for their challah.
No.
They're just using the wrong word.
Totally wrong word. Truma
is
the root
the
of the word. Litrom is donation. Litrom. So somebody, maybe an Israeli might say that, who understands Hebrew well enough to know that they're giving a donation, but it's not an accurate halachic word. So they're not giving truma from their challah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Actually, I heard an Israeli say that.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's confused me.
Right. So truma, litrom, is to donate, to give... A gift. Not a gift like a present. It's not a birthday present. It's a gift to a school. That kind of... When you say gift, tzedakah gift, sustaining gift, that kind of gift, that is litrom.
Okay.
To contribute, to give.
Okay. And then masrot is from the word
eser. Tithe, 10%.
Okay. So when I'm taking challah...
It has nothing to do with maaser. You're not taking 10%.
It still doesn't.
No. Challah is not truma or maaser.
Got it.
Completely separate.
It's a
gift.
Totally different thing.
Completely separate thing. Yeah. That is correct. One more thing I just wanted to mention. Somebody can say it to Sandy. Not only do we give truma and maaser from our raw produce, the grains, the fruits, the vegetables, but also from wine and olive oil. Just pointing that out. Yeah, it's the only finished thing. So challah is not in that. But wine and olive oil is in that. Not other oils, not your safflower oil, but your olive oil and your wine, not your whiskey. Wine and olive oil, when you're finished making that, you re-separate. And I'm not sure if you re-separate all of it, every single layer like that.
So it's
or not.
The finished product that's separated.
The finished product of those two are separated again. Yes.
And they fall into these exact same categories.
That's what I'm just saying. I'm not positive.
Oh.
I'm not positive. Okay. If maybe just give Truma Gdola from them. And one more piece of information. Because we have the mashu, we're going to move in just a second.
In a second? I have a meeting
just
here.
Just one second. Yeah.
It's fine.
We're almost done. The mashu of what you can give to make it not, no longer require Truma Gdola also makes it require Truma Gdola. So let's say you have a whole pile that you separated out from and a whole pile that you didn't. And then it's windy. And you're not... It seems like some... I mean, now the piles are not clean. And there's maybe a grain blew into that pile.
Of your separation.
One grain makes it tevel again. Because one grain makes it not.
Interesting.
Just saying that. Just throwing that out there for you.
Thank you.
so glad you did.
Covered.
Right. So I don't know the halachic rule if you can just take out the truma gedola again from that other pile or not. So, you know, those are all different things. Anyway, I just wanted to delineate the categories for you so you'd understand.
I'm putting a tarp over
it. Put a tarp over it when you do it. And we will pick up from the other side, not next week.
There's no class next week?
That's correct. That's why we did not. We should have looked at the first class. No class next week, November 4th.
Okay.
So the week after next week, November, whatever that is. 11. Thank you. Yeah. You're the math person. November 11th. Yes. That's my mother's birthday, 11-11. Mm-hmm. So then we will do the other side of this. Great. Okay. Great.
Oh, good class.